Am Well Show. I am Justin Abner.
And I am Ari Pierce.
And I'm Jeff Pierce, and we are the hosts of the I Am Well Show. We have a great guest tonight. Ari can tell you about her. Go ahead, Ari.
Tonight's guest is Bambi Corso. She is a dream worker, a life coach, and an author. She's been working with dreams for over 35 years. And be sure to call in tonight if you have any dreams. Call in at 347-838-9142.
Ari, also, would you let our listeners know that I've made a mistake about Western medicine? I told the doctor to his face that I never trusted him or Western medicine, that I apologize for, but now I do trust him totally. He's part of the reason why I'm here now. Would you say his name and the name of the hospital?
Yes, it's Dr. Leo Lamson at UT Medical Center in the emergency area.
He is truly a healer. I think he wanted to heal me worse than I wanted to be healed, and that was, I wanted to be healed pretty bad. But he also called this morning wanting to know how I'm doing and everything else. So, doctor, you've not just got a patient, but you also have a friend. Thank you so much. Okay, Ari, you want to bring out our special guest tonight?
Yes, welcome on the show, Bambi.
Hi, Ari. Hi, Jeff and Justin. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it was a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
You did a knockout job on the Spirit Walker show.
Oh, so, thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Well, there's some other hosts of other shows of our network that may be listening in because they want to invite you as well.
Terrific.
Okay.
Good.
I'll shut up.
Well, Bambi, it is great to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you, Ari.
I'll start out with, now in the dream work that you do, how often do you hear healing dreams?
Well, I believe that all dreams hold within them some kernel of healing. I think there's big healing dreams, and then there is different areas in which healing can take place. So, of course, we have the emotional side, physical, spiritual, and mental. And so when dreams come to us, when powerful dreams especially come, they all offer some amount of healing within them. So in my work, I really believe that all dreams hold some healing, no matter what it is. But I do know that there are specific dreams that people have in which they are being informed by their own bodies or by their own consciousness or their spirit that something is out of balance. And so if one is having a healing dream, you know, as we all know, healing is really just a return to wholeness. And that can take place on many, many levels. And the dreams always speak about that.
Right.
Okay. And as you explained a little bit about what healing dreams are, could you give some examples of them?
Sure. I have one favorite author who wrote a dream book. It's called Healing Dreams. His name, just because I really want to reference him, his work is tremendous. His name is Mark Ian Barash. And if you guys don't mind, I'd like to read a paragraph from an article that he wrote because it gives some very specific dreams, what kind of dreams he was having as a pretense to his condition, which I will say at the end of this. So taken from an article he wrote called Exploring the Power of Healing Dreams, he says, "But suddenly my dreams, usually lazy and easily dismissed, acquired a jolting technicolor realism. They gleamed with mysteries both opaque and insistent, their meaning tantalizingly beyond my grasp. In one, a maniac heralded as the greatest mass murderer in the history of mankind had escaped from a cell and was chasing me with an axe to decapitate me. In another, death peered through my basement window, his gaunt face glowing like phosphorus beneath his hood, coolly casing the joint. Necks were a puzzling motive in his dreams. Six long needles were stuck into his what he calls neck brain by a circle of primitive tribesmen. A World War II bullet was lodged in his neck, and it continues on like that. As it turns out, he trusted his dreams enough to go to the doctor, who informed him that absolutely nothing was wrong with him. And he left. He says, you know, I know this sounds really strange, but I'm here because I'm having these terrible nightmares, and they're not normal for me, and it has to do with my neck. And they did blood work, and they did x-rays, and they did tests, and they could not find anything. And he was very, very persistent, kept going back, kept demanding additional tests to be done, and ultimately they found a malignant tumor in his thyroid.
Oh, wow.
And when you hear that, you realize that these types of dreams, right, the mass murderer that escaped from a cell, you know, you can hear that body language in that kind of a dream. And his whole book is all about his process of working with his dreams in order to heal from his thyroid cancer, and he did, in fact, heal. Obviously, he wrote his book, and it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
So that's one example of a healing dream as far as something physical. For myself, I could give you an example of something that I wouldn't consider healing in this kind of way, but I used to have a really hard time speaking up or speaking in public, and I had this dream of doing dream work in my lifetime. And so one day I had a dream that, ultimately the dream, I woke up the next morning and I knew that I had to go to Toastmasters. And as simple as that sounds, making that commitment to, you know, sign up for classes, study for 2 years, practice for 2 years, and develop a voice was tremendously healing. And that all came directly from a dream.
Are there ways of knowing if a dream is about illness or healing? Are there certain things that we should watch for?
What I have found, Ari, is, I mean, like Mark Barash in his book, when something hits you to that kind of a level where you wake up and you just think or feel that something's just out of balance, something's just not right, I think that's a good way. It's a good indication to at least just start paying attention. There are certain things, there are certain dream images that do come up more often than others when somebody is having physical challenges. So, for example, if you have a dream and there's something wrong with the electricity, for example, sometimes that can have to do with the electrical body, the neurological body. So, you look to see, okay, what is going on? If it's my house, you know, if it's the plumbing, is there something going on in the intestines? There are dreams in which items or images that the dreamer has are actually shaped like a body part. One of my teachers worked with a man in a workshop who was, you know, really a disbeliever in dream work and went up and said something anyways, and he was talking about a dream that he had of a piano, and there was something wrong with one of the piano legs. And, you know, if you just focus in on the piano leg, it looks like a spine. And so my teacher had asked him, well, you know, how's your back? And he goes, well, I've been having terrible back pain. And so images like that, that's just, you know, another example of something that is shaped like something else in the body.
Wow, that's interesting. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Don't a lot of people also interpret it through animals coming into dreams?
Oh, sure, sure. And I think, Jeff, when it comes to even injured animals in dreams, I think might be more prevalent when it comes specifically to healing dreams when somebody's not... not as well. I mean, I know, for example, from our last show, you know, you're working with people who are doing spiritual work and spiritual healing, and the animals come in and they're very healthy, and it's fantastic imagery. So, yes, that definitely happens.
So a lot of times what I say, an everyday person dreams about, let's just pick an animal, say a frog. They don't understand it. What I tell them, if you can, Google in or whatever, get the book on Animal Speaks. Learn
oh, yeah.
And take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Jeff, and I do that myself. I also have that book, and I also do the same thing because I want to understand more about the animal itself. And I think there's another way of looking at it from the aspect that you're talking about, Jeff, where the image, it's not that us in our ego body, in our, you know, our day-to-day life are necessarily going to sleep and having a dream and we made it all up by ourselves. Oftentimes what happens is a dream image comes to us on behalf of itself to inform us about something. And
yes.
So oftentimes that will come through animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why animals. Animals do not premeditate. They don't have an ego. They are just simply are what they are, and that's pure, natural, and unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they're needed. There is no fear.
Mm-hmm.
So they do come to aid, and then they leave.
Yeah, animals bring with them, too, a certain sense of the instinctual nature, you know, not only of them but of us. And in a high-paced society in which we live now, a lot of times we don't pay attention to that instinctual nature even within ourselves.
Right. I used to do wolf rescue for 15 years.
Mm.
I used to raise wolves. And I had one female wolf that used to steal other animals' babies, baby bunnies, baby squirrels, and she'd nurse them along with the wolf cubs.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
We do have a caller here. It is George from Tennessee. Hi, George.
Fantastic.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hi, George.
Hi,
welcome.
Thank you. Well, you guys are sitting here talking about dreams and animals and dreams. You know, I have all kinds of weird dreams, especially with animals. And one that got me recently, I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but still there's, like, aspects of it that I'm unsure about. What happened was a lady was leading me blindfolded down a path. And then she kept telling me things. I don't remember what they were, but we get to the end of the path. And she takes the blindfold off, and she points at a hole in the ground, which was kind of like a cave. You know, it was real echoey and all that. And she's
mm-hmm.
like, listen. And you can hear a roar coming through the tunnel in the ground. And she's like, we need to fix this. Like, she had panic in her voice and all this. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm thinking maybe she knows something I don't. Well, the animal, it sounded like a lion, but when it came out, it was a big fox and a little fox. She's like, do it. She's like, hide behind me. And, you know, she got me scared by her words. So I picked up a rock, and I wanted to throw it at it. It was, you know, I threw it at the big fox. The fox missed. Yeah, it missed the fox. It moved out of the way. So I picked up a piece of wood and threw it at it, and it bounced off its shoulder, and the fox just looked at me. Next thing I know, I'm sitting on a hill looking through one of those chain link fences. You can see right through them.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman sitting to the left of me, and I'm like, what are we doing? She's like, we're waiting for the people. I'm like, okay, well, there's people all around. She's like, no, there's not. I'm like, yes, there are. There's one here. There's one over there. There's one over there. She's like, no, it's not. I'm like, okay, and that's when I woke up.
So you said you thought this was kind of obvious. Why don't you share what you felt about the dream?
I kind of felt like, you know, it could be one of these dreams where somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes, or they're just scared about something that may not be all that worth being that scared about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure, like, what certain details mean. You know, the fence part, that might be kind of obvious, or maybe they don't trust what I'm saying.
Let me ask you, I think because it starts off almost immediately with the lady walking you down a path, but you're blindfolded. Is there any place in your life right now, George, where you are feeling like you might be walking blindly through life or through a situation in particular?
Yeah, sometimes, but, you know, I try to have faith.
But there's nothing in particular right now?
Not anything too peculiar.
Okay. The one thing in listening to your dream that is interesting, and I'll bring this up because this is a perfect example, is sometimes dreams have a sense of humor, actually, and they will make they'll create puns using words. And so, for example, in your dream, you said that, you know, there's this hole and underneath you are hearing the growling and you think it's a lion. And even lion has that sense of lying, as well as fox, who even has a little bit of kind of the, you know, a little bit of a similar energy, you know, when you kind of get foxed. You mentioned that when you were describing how you kind of are feeling about the dream and interpreting it for yourself, you mentioned that there was something about not truth-telling going on.
Right.
Right? Is there anything else that you can say about that?
No, not really. I have worries about the future and all that, but, you know, nothing set in stone.
Okay, because I would really be looking at the imagery is fabulous, George. I'd really be paying attention to the blindfoldedness in the dream and being led someplace, which, you know, also does have to do with trusting somebody to walk you someplace else. I would be looking at the hole in the ground, this tunnel, and anytime you're dealing with tunnels in dreams, I shouldn't say every time, but oftentimes you're dealing with something that is in the subconscious. It's kind of the underground. Sometimes it's the shadow side of ourself, and you hear rumblings going on down there. It's enough to get your attention. It's enough to get the woman nervous. But, in fact, what comes out is not nearly as bad as what you thought.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
But that's a beautiful dream.
Oh, thank you. I have lots of them.
And you write them down, George?
Yeah, Jeff?
I would say, from a shaman point of view, is showing you that you have an imagination that is a companion of the fear of the unknown. This is why you heard a lion, okay, because this is what you're afraid of. But out comes a little fox with her young. You're throwing rocks, she's showing no aggression. You hit her, she looks at you as if, why the attack?
Yeah, she did.
She doesn't understand. Okay, that's where I would go with that. You wake up in the morning in the daylight. All right, you're all wide awake, happy, secure. Night comes, people have a tendency to lock doors, lock windows, lock themselves down. Why? What is the difference? What is the difference? What is there is there. So I would say work on your fears of the unknown. Don't make anything bigger than what it is. And if you don't understand it, let it go for now and go back to it. You agree with this?
Yes, I do. It makes perfect sense.
Bambi, you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
This is why I love it when you chime in, because you always bring a whole other perspective, and it's really nice and very helpful. You have any other questions, George?
No, I have, like I said, I have tons of dreams, but I'm not sure if we have enough time. If you guys don't have that many callers, then call in towards the end.
George, can I just ask you really quick, do you write all of these dreams down that you have?
I do not. Most of the time, I just remember them.
Okay. I would just really encourage you, if you have the time in the morning, to start keeping track of them that way, because over time, you may start seeing some recurring images. The foxes might reappear. The lion might reappear. You never know. And it's a really helpful gauge to kind of track your own progress through things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much. If you guys don't have any callers, I'll probably be calling back then.
All right. Thank you, George. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
All right. I got a question. It's something I've been thinking about for a while. It's actually kind of about a topic people call lucid dreaming, in a sense, where you're aware you're dreaming. Could you explain a little bit about that, if it has any beneficial to anybody or anything along those lines?
Well, lucid dreaming is when a person is able to become conscious in the dream state. So you can be in the middle of having a dream and all of a sudden realize that you're dreaming. And in that state, if you can keep yourself still asleep, you have the ability then to take control of the dream and make things happen versus just watching the dream unfold as it would normally unfold. There are a tremendous amount of people who are very deeply involved in lucid dreaming and find a tremendous amount of help in that. I don't personally lucid dream. It takes a lot of practice. It's not something I've been able to personally master, but I know that works really well for many people.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the benefits of lucid dreaming if someone were to do it and are able to do it?
I think the main one is achieving a certain state of consciousness
mm-hmm.
in dreaming. And I imagine Jeff, with his work, would also be able to tell you much more about this, because honestly, Justin, it's not my my main focus, so I wish I knew more about lucid dreaming. Jeff, do you have any comments about that?
Lucid dreaming is where the person has been able to find the balance within their mind, working the conscious mind, the subconscious mind together, because that way you're learning to use, if you want to call it, your psychic ability, your creative ability, whatever, along with the analytical mind. Between the two of them, they'll problem solve, and then you can figure out what's going on with you, make changes, even helps you sometimes in the future.
Hmm. All right.
You go up in a higher consciousness of self, to a higher level. It's like jumping from seventh grade, now you're third year in college.
Mm-hmm.
Because like people, they're afraid of the dark, they can't see, physically see. Well, what do you think your third eye is for? The eyes, physical eyes, are for the analytical mind. All right, when the analytical mind can't see, it freaks out. But that's where the subconscious mind, the spirit, comes in and takes you from there.
That was a good question.
Yeah, it's an excellent question.
Awesome. Now, you talked about different images in the dream being symbolizing body parts and things mm-hmm. like that. What are other things that could be symbolism in a dream that would accompany healing?
Oftentimes, something, there will be a sense of a higher presence being around you. There's a man who documented this. His name is David Bloom, and he was another person who, in his case, he had cancer. He was not going to live through having cancer, and his dreams inspired him to start drawing the dreams. And this entire documentary, and it's called Appointment with the Wise Old Dog, for anybody who might be interested, because it is so fascinating. This man starts just, you know, he's not an artist either, but he starts just painting the images in his dream, and what starts showing up immediately is this particular woman, and she's there in almost all of these dreams, as well as this particular dog, and they accompany him on his journey through his transition. And so that type of felt more like an angel presence, as well as the companion of the dog, would be another example of something that might start showing up in dreams.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how do we work with healing dreams? How would someone go about it?
The first thing probably, I guess, Ari, we don't always know that we're having a healing dream.
Right.
And you know, I'm really dedicated to and always encouraging people to write down their dreams, because as you start writing, you then are able to start seeing any similarities, any patterns, any recurring images, or like with the man who wrote Healing Dreams, there's a constant focal point on his neck in multiple dreams. So to start working with a healing dream, even though you may not know it's a healing dream yet, first step would be start writing them down. I don't always hear people write their dreams down in the present tense. When they read them back, they always are reading it back in the past tense. But if you can write your dream down in the present tense, it brings you and the dream together right here, right now. It's not something that happened before, it's over with, I've moved on from it. It brings you right into the present moment. And I'll give you a really simple example of that. If I were to have a dream that I was, if I were to say, Ari, I had this dream, and in my dream I was in jail, and it was really cold, and there was these bars, and you know that, and you're going along talking about it in the past tense, versus me saying, Ari, I had this dream, I am in jail, and it's cold, and there are these bars holding me back. You can feel that shift of when you bring it into the present moment. So writing dreams down in the present allows dreamers also to have aha moments, as we kind of call them, when somebody realizes, oh my gosh, I recognize what this is talking about, is really helpful. And then starting to notice when there are similarities, or notice when something really feels out of sorts.
Okay.
Well, we've been talking a lot about how our physical life affects our dreams and how our spiritual life affects our dreams. Is there any thing about our dreams affecting our lives and like the things that we do, the way we experience things, or even down to, you know, how people say that they have dreams that, you know, if they fall and if they watch themselves hit the ground and they die in their dream, they don't wake up before they die in the dream. They don't wake up in real life because they died in real life. Is there any
right.
merit to that?
I love all those questions. Let me actually deal with the last one first.
Okay.
I don't have any idea where that came from. I believe that is a myth. Many people I know have died in dreams, myself included. And I lived through it. I woke back up and wrote it all down. So I'm not sure if somebody dies in their dream, how did they know that they were dreaming about dying? So I think that is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
So just to have that one set aside. As far as an answer to the other part of it, you know, dreams are constantly, they're always commenting on, for example, our moral compass, I'll call it. You know, if we're, how we're feeling about something, how we're doing in life, the choices that we're making, the mates we are choosing, the jobs we are taking, the dreams are always commenting on all of that. And all of those things, too, really can be looked at as healing, because if our goal is to you know, be as conscious as we can be in our life, then paying attention to all of these little things, these little guideposts that help push us back to the center, and be balanced and live within our own integrity are really helpful. A lot of times dreams will offer a predicament in the dream, but then they also will offer a different possibility. And as you get to know your own dreams and your own dream imagery, you can start seeing that stuff yourself. And, you know, that is such a it's such a beautiful practice, because you do start seeing things and you do realize that I'm off here or I'm right on track here.
Wow.
Well, I have a good dream for you myself.
Okay.
It was actually a couple years ago. I had this, and it was a great dream. I was running on this dock, and there's just clear blue waters all around. And I was wearing a long white dress, and I just felt so free. Well, I'm running, and up above me, here comes a hawk, and it flies down right above my head. And as it flew past my head, it turned into an owl.
Mm.
And the owl, it landed right on the dock in front of me, and its feathers were the same color as my hair, and its eyes were the same color as my eyes. And it was just beautiful. And everything was just, you know, sparkling. I mean, it was a great dream. But what do you think about that one?
Boy, that one really feels like a merging of energies. You know, owls. Well, I guess I should ask you first. What are your associations to owls? Do they live within your life now? How are you connected with owls?
I love owls. I love birds. I always sit and watch the birds fly. I love hawks and I love owls a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had told her my on my animal totem, all right, the two birds I have is the owl and the red-tailed hawk, and they coexist in the same territory and everything else. She had this dream right around the time, or possibly right before she met me, so I'd say, okay, that was showing you that you were going to change your life and meet me. So
very neat that happened in that timing. And that's actually one of the great reasons it is to keep track of when these things happen, so you can look back and say, this is the point that I met Jeff.
Right, yeah, it was about,
you know,
right after I met him.
Well, and I think, you know, even as powerful as the hawk and the owl are, that white dress feels very important as well, you know, because it feels like, you know, to me, it feels like some sort of a commitment, a wedding dress, a, you know, it has that whole feel to it.
Yeah, she got married.
And then she got married.
But I look at the white dress as purity. It was all pure. There was no deception. There was no games. There was...
Yeah, and it really felt like a cleansing to me. Because at the time in my life when I did have that dream, I was going through some hard things, you know, so I think I was in this transition, changing from the bad to the good. And that dream really, I don't know if it was just a sign that, you know, good things are coming or, you know, a cleansing, but it was really beautiful.
Oh, it sounds like it. And it does sound like in this dream that there's it feels like it was a sign. And I think that's actually a really a good part of this conversation to talk about, is when a dream, you know when a dream is just a dream, and, you know, the toaster starts talking, and, you know, you see your friends from third grade, and I mean, there's things that start happening in dreams, and you know you're just having a dream. There's another type of dream, similar to what you had, Ari, where there's a whole other feeling to it. You know, I wouldn't be able to tell you for sure whether the hawk turning into the owl was about you meeting Jeff, though they absolutely appear to be connected. I think, in the way that I normally will do dream work with people, I have them first, use their imagery for themselves and then move out. But you, I'm sure, have already done that. And so because Jeff is in your immediate circle, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. At the time, it didn't even make the connection, but as time went on, it started to make more sense. But I never forgot it. I always remembered that.
Now, that one would be hard to forget. But the fact that even that the owl match, you know, that the eye color matches your eye color and the color of the feathers matches your hair still to me feels like there's even more to it, that it definitely has something to do with you and your connection to owl energy, you know. And if one were to look up, as Jeff mentioned earlier in that book, Animals Speak, and you read about owls, you know that, you know, they are very much aligned with wisdom, and they're like the eagles of the night. And owls are also very important with women often. So, no, that's a terrific dream.
With the hawk and the horned owl, they're the only two predator birds that will nest in the same area. And they have no quarrel because the hawk is a day bird. The owl is a night bird. Now, they also guard each other's territory. Because while the owl is out hunting, right, the hawk is sitting there watching for intruders, and they alternate. Now, with one bird changing into another, that can be two becoming one in energy and everything.
Yeah. I thought I'd throw that one out there. I thought we'd have fun with it.
No, that's a great dream, Ari. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So,
I had a dream as well. Actually, this one was a while back, and it involved animals as well, which I always thought was a fascinating dream. I had this dream that we lived in this cabin in the middle of these woods. It was me, Jeff, and Ari in this cabin. And what was odd about the cabin was that the doors were open, and animals always walk through the house. This freely, all the time. And some of the animals included, like, bears and stuff like that. We had no fear of the animals. One of the most interesting things about it was, I remember there was, like, I call it water buffalo skin hanging from hooks outside, and water constantly poured out of them on, like, these little stands made of wood holding them up. And then as you go inside the house, Jeff was always at the kitchen table smoking a cigarette, and just talking with everyone. And then I was just there, and I was trying to find Ari, and I find her in the bathroom, and all these animals are inside the house, and she takes, like, the little birds, the chipmunks, the squirrels, and she's giving them all baths and letting them all air dry. And they're all, like, in line, just waiting for her to dry them. And I'm like, what? And then I come outside in the hallway, and there's a long line of animals walking through the house, and the back door keeps getting shut for some reason. The exit door keeps getting shut, and the bear kept running into the door. And I'd walk over, I open the door, and the bear goes out. I turn around, the door shut again. The bear just keeps running into the door until someone opens it. So I kept doing that over and over again, and then finally I just kind of woke up.
Wow. And this was how long ago, Justin?
This was, I want to say, at least 6 months ago. At least.
And how long have you known Jeff and Ari?
At that point, I've known them about 2 years.
Okay. And what did you make of the dream first?
Honestly, I still don't have any real idea. I just kind of wrote it down, and I was like, huh.
Well, it really feels similar to the work that you all do together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people as animal, you know, or the kind of the spirit of people resembling the different animal types, and the fact that they're all coming there, and they're, you know, they're coming in and out of the house, and there's people around a lot like that, and it, you know, I know that you guys do teaching and healing work, and so there's people coming and going. There's a feeling of similarity about that, certainly. Does Ari, when you think of Ari, and Ari, not to make you uncomfortable at all, but when you think of her, what type of energy do you associate with Ari?
I kind of associate Ari as as a sister, motherly figure, you know, the motherly sister, you know, the big sister,
right,
kind of runs the house.
Yeah, right. Well, because, yeah, I was going to say that sense of her washing the little chipmunks and the little animals in the bathroom and them lining up to do that definitely has a strong mothering feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even things, this kind of a dream and even the dream that Ari shared a few minutes ago, when Carl Jung actually spoke about having dreams and working on, that you could work on one dream for your entire life. And he had dreams like this where he had a dream and he knew there was something so much more important, but it literally took him his entire life to get to a place where he really felt like he understood what it was, because it's so much more than just a nighttime dream,
mm-hmm.
You know. And it just seems like such a neat way of looking at dream work in whole, because it is like spirituality, a lifelong practice, if it's something that you're interested in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a discipline, but it's so much fun and it's so creative and so much comes out of it. I think one of the things I've found doing my own dream work for so many years is that when a person is really paying attention to their dreams, even if we're not understanding everything that they mean, just paying attention, watching, and making little shifts and turns in our own life based on them, that we grow quicker. I feel like there are things that I've learned so much faster than if I had never paid attention to my dreams. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have seen the things in my own conscious mind that the dream showed me about myself, for example. You know, so it's a tremendous way to keep yourself growing that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I know that since we're all talking about dreams, I know Jeff had a dream probably about a year ago about me that I'd be interested to hear what you'd have to say about it. Jeff, you know what I'm talking
okay.
about?
You might as well tell it. You just did.
Well, goodness, how'd it go? Do you know what I was with the wolf. I think you'd be better at telling it than I would.
All right. I'm sitting in a cabin, and I was looking for Ari. I could still see physically with my eyes then. So I'm looking all through the cabin. She's not there. She's not out on the deck. I open the back door, and here she's, I mean, she's not very tall. She's not very big. But she's got both hands wrapped around a tail of a full-grown male timber wolf. Now, his eyes are big. He's looking back at her. His tongue's hanging out the side of his face. He's panting. There's trenches from his claws from her dragging him to the cabin. She says, look what I found. Can I keep him? That's much of that dream that I remember her telling.
I brought the, well, Jeff told me it was going to bite my face off, and I kept saying, no, it's not. And I brought the wolf into the house, and I started combing his hair, or his fur, and, like, putting it in, like, little ponytails and, like, combing it. And the wolf would snarl and show his fangs, but he wouldn't bite me. That's as far as I remember.
You guys have a lot of cabin dreams, huh?
Yeah, we live in the Smoky Mountains, you know.
Well, that helps. You know, setting is key.
The only place I've ever felt at home.
Oh, I can understand why. You know, that dream. Let me ask you, Jeff. Was there any way in which when you and Ari were, you know, starting to see each other where she was doing more of the tugging, trying to make things happen faster than you perhaps?
No.
Okay.
No. She'd have to just stand there and smile and my heart would melt. But I kept it at a distance.
If
but
Ari...
I I watched her with nature, and she was so respectful and so full of love and curiosity. You know, I'm like, she's a healer. She's definitely a healer, because she's not judging what species, is a human, is it this or that. Life is sacred to her, and she loves everything in life.
Let me ask you, Jeff, is there a way, if one were to look, if you were to look at this dream as if Ari was a part of you at the time that you had that dream, you know, it's always possible when we're dreaming of other people, we're not always dreaming of them. Oftentimes we're dreaming of an aspect of ourself, whether we know that aspect exists or not. And, you know, with her, the way that you just described her, was that something that you were kind of bringing into your life in a larger way at that time?
When I first met her, I felt I've known her for a long, long time. And we clicked. I mean, we'd say things at the same time, laugh at the same time over something stupid that most people wouldn't laugh at. The minute she'd walk out the door, I'd miss her company and her conversation. I missed her energy. I was drawn to her, yes, and it wasn't on a sexual basis. It was just her energy, her personality, her unconditional love for all things.
But do you think, was there any way that you yourself were opening that part of you, that unconditional love, that more of the feminine part of yourself, was that opening more once she came into your life?
It's possible. I really don't know. I don't remember, but
right.
It's very possible. That makes sense.
Right. Well, it's always a good thing, and I say this mainly for the listeners, because I know that the two of you have such a strong connection, and the way one of the listeners might dream about somebody else could be so different, that oftentimes when we dream of another person, you know, the first thing that we do is we think we're dreaming of the other person. So it's always a good idea to look at the person, write down, you know, what are the qualities about this person? What am I most attracted to, or what am I most bothered by, depending on who you're dreaming about, and then see if there's some part of ourself in that energy in the dream, in that person in the dream. So instead of, you know, you can wake up and be mad at your wife or your husband over having a bad dream about them, when in fact it may really have nothing to do with you or with them. It has to do with you, you know. So that's just, it's a good practice. And certainly as people in partnership are together longer, their dreams can actually start merging. And people can actually, I've even heard stories of people who started having the same dream at night.
Well, usually, I don't know, with past relationships on different levels, at night I just sit watching TV and unwind. Since Ari and I have been together, we watch very little TV. We spend the whole evening talking. And to me, that's more stimulating. And I learned so much in that conversation. I wish more people would practice this in their relationships with someone. The respect, listen to their dreams, listen to their goals. But nobody listens anymore.
No, that's even the idea of just family sitting around a table together.
That we do.
You know, yeah.
We do have a caller here. It is Jay from Tennessee.
Okay, hi, Jay.
Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, how are you, Jay?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm having a pretty good night.
Good.
I was wondering, how do you interpret nightmares?
Well, did you have one recently? Or have you been having them? Or
I've had one that, like, has stuck in my mind for, like, the past year.
Okay.
And it's like one that I can never get figured out. It was like I was in a family of werewolves per se. Like we were just like in human form, and we're all living in a house. And another family of werewolves came in, like, and was attacking us. And, like, I could watch them. They were taking out each one of my family members one by one. And I was trying to escape. Like, I was making my way through the living room, like, sticking behind the couch. I made my way into the kitchen, like, staying very low to the ground, moving around the counter and stuff. And then I made it to the back door, and, like, you know, all the while, I'm hearing, like, the screams of my fellow family members, you know, getting attacked and silenced. And I finally make it out to the back door, and I see, like, this edge of the wood line behind the house. And I feel, like, really safe, like, if I make it into the woods, you know, that I can get away. And right as I get about, like, 5-10 feet away from the woods, like all of a sudden this the attacking family like surrounds me, and they all start like singing, and like I can see myself raising up into the air, and then everything goes black, and I'm like still dreaming, but like I can tell like that in this darkness that they had like eaten me.
And you said this was about a year ago, Jay?
Yes, ma'am.
Or so?
Yes.
Do you remember what was going on in your life at that point? Anything out of the ordinary?
At that point, I had just not really anything out of the ordinary, really. Like, I had been moving around quite a bit. I was just kind of trying to find my own way. So I had been moving from house to house to house, so I had found a place where I could settle for a little while. But other than that, like, I had a pretty steady job, solid group of friends and stuff. So, I mean, other than that, you know, everything seemed pretty okay.
Mm-hmm. What was the strongest emotion or two of that dream?
I'd say fear was one of the biggest key factors. Like, one of my biggest fears is actually being eaten alive, so.
So that's interesting. If one of your biggest fears is actually then comes true in the nightmare, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What about the whole idea of your family being attacked? I mean, there's these, you know, two rivaling families. What, is there any anything like that that might have been happening in your own life at the time with anything in your family unit?
Well, my personal family unit is pretty, I guess you could say, tight-knit. Like, there's only me and my mom and my dad and my sister. But there's really no other family to speak of anymore. And even at that time, like, my grandma had already passed. So, like, we don't really have any, like, other family rivalry per se.
Okay. Jeff and Ari and Jay, are you all there?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what just happened. We just had a little glitch just now. Jay, would you repeat what you just said, please, about your family unit?
Sure. My family unit's pretty, like, low in number and pretty tightly knit. Like, it's just me, my mom, my dad, and my sister. I mean, like, there's really nobody else left. I think my grandma had recently passed about maybe 6 months ago. So, yeah.
Do you feel like, I mean, the whole idea of having your family attacked by another family like that, are you very protective over your family?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do you have any idea where the fear of being eaten alive comes from?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in, like, shows like Animal Planet. And, like, yeah. I've always been able to, like, just wonder, like, what that must be like. And, like, just, I guess it might have started, like, when I was younger. I was in church and the priest told us, like, a story about how, like, two men on a wagon were taking holy wafers from one church to another. And, like, a group of wolves came out of the forest to, like, eat the wafers and protect the wafers. One of the carriage riders jumped off the wagon to distract them, and was pretty much sacrificed himself for the holy wafers. That story always kind of just like wigged me out a little bit.
Well, it's interesting because that story has a little bit of similarity to the dream.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain way, you know. I mean, you still have the wolves there, and there's still this. You know, the wafers being part of the body of Christ, right? It's just interesting to notice that there may be a little bit of symbolism taken from that that's carrying forward, you know. But why the fear then? Why, you know, why the nightmare then? What I would say about nightmares in general, Jay, is that generally speaking, when a person has a nightmare, something has already been trying to get their attention in a dream. So dreams first speak in whispers and little taps on the shoulder. And if we aren't working with something that's going on, and it doesn't mean we're working specifically with the dream, but maybe we're avoiding a conversation in our waking life. Maybe we're not dealing with something. Maybe, you know, maybe a million things. But they start off in whispers first and little taps. And if we don't take some kind of action and heed that little tap and that little whisper, they start getting louder. And they eventually turn into screams, basically. And nightmares are so often a representation of something really trying to get your attention. And, you know, the idea of such strong fear in that dream seems like it might be part of that.
Hmm. Well, like, what do you think then is trying to get my attention? Like,
do you think that your fears are holding you back any place in your life?
Well, I guess maybe. Like, I'm not really all that like big into like big groups and stuff. Like, I mean, I'm pretty much like a homebody.
But that doesn't sound like a fear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't really like large crowds and stuff, but I mean, I think I've done quite a bit with my life and stuff, so I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, like, that they're holding me back from anything.
Okay.
We're actually going to go to a commercial break, so we'll be right back. Hold on to your thoughts.
All right.
Hello, this is Ariel Pierce, and welcome to the RBR Network of Radio Shows. The RBR Network page is at www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have Pam Drennan with the Cosmic Contact Show. And at 8 p.m., it is Keith Blanchard with the Searchers Roadmap Show. Then on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, it's Jeffrey Pierce and Justin Abner with the I Am Well Show. On Wednesday, it's the No Show with James Renford Powell at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thursdays, we have Daryl Clark coming to you from New York with the Progressive News Weekly at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Friday is a two-hour special series hosted by Jeffrey Pierce and myself called The Spirit Walker Show at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Saturday, coming to you from the Rocky Mountains, is Isakan Schleppermann with her Teutonic Theology Show. Finally, on Sunday at 11 a.m., the Core Concept Show is on RBR. These are recordings of the Core Concepts lectures we have each Sunday
at 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time in Memphis, Tennessee. The Bookman Show is broadcasted on the Comcast Cable Network in Memphis each Saturday at 9:30 Central Standard Time. Both the Bookman Show and the Core Concepts Lectures are also on YouTube. You can access them by going to the Renford Broadcast Network channel. I would like to invite you to visit the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics at www.iam-core.org. The books used are available in the bookstore, and you can view all 3 degree levels of the Institute. There are 3 free e-books, a free e-zine you can download called Lightways, and an information package for first-time authors called the Author Package. Before we get back to your show, I also want to invite you to go to the website of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. TheLawsOfMaterialWealth.com provides a look at the most comprehensive, interactive, and proactive personal development program available today. It includes James Renford Powell's book, The Laws of Material Wealth, the workbook by the same name, 4 DVDs, a CD, an infomercial, 3 outline commentaries, and 54 weeks of support material and online coaching. Thanks for listening to the RBR Network shows, and enjoy your show.
Hey, I'm back.
Yep, everyone, welcome back to the I Am Well show. Real quick, if you have any questions or comments or dreams, call in at 347-838-9142 and press 1. Jay, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry for cutting you off there.
Oh, no problem. I guess, like, when I was younger, I was, like, really, really religious. And I guess maybe, like, things of that are just filtering into my adult life or something.
Mm-hmm. Which could – sometimes we don't even realize the belief systems that we hold, you know, until they – you know, somehow in life they get brought to our attention. And that kind of a dream of that magnitude and of that much fear – and the fact that your story, it's very fascinating to me that you told me the story about when you were young, because there really does seem to be such a correlation there. The question then becomes, well, let me put it this way, Jay. Instead of us asking the question, what does the dream mean? If we were to shift that and say, what does the dream want from me? And we change that dynamic, would you have any sense of what that might mean for that nightmare that you had? Like if it was calling to you, needing something from you, what might that be?
It might mean, I guess maybe that, like, if I had sacrificed myself for my family in the beginning, that they would have, like, survived or something.
Okay. Would that have been something true, though? I mean, is that a possible real scenario?
I mean, now that I'm older, I can see that would be something that I would have done.
Okay. And that's exactly what where I'm going with that shift in questioning, because I think what happens when we work towards finding the meaning for a dream and giving it a full-blown interpretation, what happens is we don't allow it to live its life also alongside our current life, because, you know, as I had mentioned earlier with Carl Jung and his work on a single dream his entire life, I actually also read that Albert Einstein had a dream that he worked on for his entire life. That's a long time for most of us to imagine spending working on a single dream. But that kind of attention and that kind of living with an energy or a something, you know, every day without putting a cage around it, which is more along the lines of giving it a full-blown meaning, and this is what it means and it can't mean anything else, allowing a dream to still kind of live itself out in our life is really a nice way of doing dream work. And even though we may not ever completely know what the nightmare was about entirely, it feels to me, but it's more important if it feels that way to you, that there's certain things that kind of spark a little curiosity that you could also spend a little bit more time on.
You want to know Shaman's point of view?
Always.
I would say that, from my point of view, is he is afraid to reach out and understand life because he might get eaten. But what he needs is the understanding and let it evolve into the knowing where he's no longer afraid to walk anywhere.
And Jay, how does that feel for you, hearing that?
That feels pretty on the spot.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay.
Well, you're welcome.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
We do have another caller here. It is Brittany from California. Hi, Brittany. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Welcome,
hi, Brittany.
Brittany.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Hello?
Oh, how's it? Welcome.
Are you?
Hello? You've got three hosts on his show. So, get three of those talking to you and the guest.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about a dream I had.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay. So I had a dream. This was a while back. This is when I was probably 14 years old, but I've always remembered it. So I had a dream. I just took a nap in the middle of the day, and I had a dream. Well, I woke up, and, I was moving my foot, as if I was, bouncing like a rabbit.
Can you repeat the first words of that again? I heard the second part.
No, but I had a dream that I was, you know those, Easter bunny rabbits around Easter time? I was one of those rabbits. What? Hello?
Are you there, Brittany? We can hear you.
What was that?
We can hear you. You can continue.
Okay. No, that was just my dream. I was just, with my other rabbit friends hopping around, and I wanted to know what that meant.
And you were around 14 when you had that dream?
Yeah.
What were your friendships like at that point? Do you remember?
I had quite a few friends.
And were you guys similar? Were you guys all, what somebody would call maybe a clique or dressed similar? Was there any common threads that way?
Yeah.
How did the dream make you feel, Brittany?
It's really warming. It brings me back to, a nice time. No, actually, I remember in my dream hopping away with, my mom rabbit and my dad rabbit, and we just, hopped away. But, I was just one of those little rabbits. It was a good feeling.
That's a sweet dream.
Yeah,
well, and rabbits are seem to have a lot. I mean, they're so gentle. Natured and such. They definitely have a sense of family to them. I mean, just with the feeling that you had, Brittany, if I were to ask you first, what, did you have any sense of what that might be speaking about?
My dream? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. It was just,
okay.
It's a nice dream.
Well, it sounds like a confirmation of being in a good place with other people in your family, with your friends, and enjoying yourself, certainly. What I like about what you said was the way that it made you feel and that how that it was warming.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you have any thoughts?
Yes, I would say no matter how long you live, never let go of that dream.
Yeah.
Because as the innocence and the purity of the little girl that's inside of you, never let the dream go, and never let that little girl go. That's a beautiful dream.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
It's really nice.
You have any other ones?
Oh, not right now. Not at the moment. That was just one that I've always remembered, so I wanted to share that one.
I'm honored you did share it.
Mm-hmm.
And that lightened me right up.
I know. I know you could feel that one.
Yes.
Brittany, do you have any questions about dreams in general while we have you on the phone?
No. Well, I mean, it's a question in general, but I have dreams a lot, like all the time. But my boyfriend, he doesn't dream at all. Like, he doesn't remember any of his dreams. Why
is that? Usually the first reason is people because we all dream, Brittany. It's just whether we remember our dreams, but we are definitely all dreaming all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about bringing your attention to wanting to remember your dreams. Is it something that he's interested in or not so much?
No, not really.
That's probably why he's not remembering them then.
Okay.
I would say. If our hosts and co-hosts are okay with it, maybe we could go through just a couple of the suggestions for how to begin remembering your dreams in case we have any callers on the phone here who would like to start remembering their dreams and paying more attention but aren't quite sure how to do that. Would that be okay? Okay. So the first thing I would say, Brittany, and I'll just address this to you even though this is just really to everybody, the first thing is just to really allow ourselves the delight of paying attention to our dreams and just shift our perception around them and create a sense of adventure. Sometimes people will have fear around dreams because the only ones that they ever remembered were the ones that they had when they were young and they were nightmares. But if you really can just embrace the whole idea of making it an adventure and making it fun, you're much more likely to start remembering the dreams. Another thing would be, as you fall asleep every night, set an intention by telling yourself that you are going to remember your dreams. So you just as you're falling asleep, just keep repeating it to yourself. Tonight I'm going to remember my dreams. Tonight I'm going to remember my dreams. And it doesn't always happen the first night. It doesn't always happen the first week. But it will happen because sometimes just setting that intention, it just takes a little bit of time to get it all the way into us. And we also have to build a muscle that we haven't been used to flexing, which is trying to remember these nocturnal visitations. So that would be another thing. Keeping an open notebook and a pen next to your bed and a flashlight is really important. Most people can certainly relate to the idea of waking up in the middle of the night, having had a dream, and if you have to go too far to find paper, you're never going to write it down. Sometimes it's hard enough just to do it anyways, but at least it's right there. You can write something down, even if you don't want to take the time to write an entire dream down. Just write some portions of it so that in the morning you can at least get the gist of what it was that you were dreaming, and keeping it there will be really helpful. Another thing I always like to suggest is people on their notebooks, you just make a few notes about your day, which are called day notes. So one might say, you know, we're talking two or three sentences, nothing elaborate. People don't have to do a full-blown journal, but say something about your day. You know, what was going on? Was there anything that stood out to you emotionally one way or the other, anything significant? Just make a note about that, and even things that happened in the world that could affect you, because as you remember dreams the following day and the following many days to come, you're able to kind of track where you have been in relation to the types of dreams that are showing up. So that can also be extremely helpful. And the last one I'll give here is to start reading a book about dreams. And though I have my favorites, it really doesn't matter too much what book as long as it resonates to you. So find a dream book that you enjoy, you know, open it up to a page, see if it feels right, And just reading about them will help activate that dream muscle and will start helping people to remember their own dreams much better. So that's a few tips for just starting off for people who may be just beginning to do dream work.
Mhm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's helpful. I'm gonna pass along the advice.
And Brittany, on my website, I have an ebook that has 10 full blown tips for helping to remember your dreams. So you're welcome to go there as well to get that PDF.
Why don't you give that information out, Bambi?
Okay. The website is just bambicorso.com, and it'll bring you right there. And the homepage has just a little box in the top right-hand corner, and you'll get your PDF just by putting your email address in there.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're very
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you for calling, Brittany.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Enjoy the show.
All right. I'm going to keep listening in, so.
All right.
Terrific.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I like that dream.
Oh, beautiful dream.
Yes, it was. I was sitting here thinking about the bunny. I'm having a visual.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bling, bling.
Well, you know, it, along the lines of healing dreams, what's interesting too is not always just the personal healing that we can get from dreams, but community healing, global healing. One person, well, Mahatma Gandhi is one person who used his dreams to find a nonviolent mass response to England's Rowlatt Act, which harshly suppressed any public agitation aiming at the liberation of India. And so the resulting Hartals of 1919 were major turning points in India's fight for the right of self-determination. And this was all inspired by a dream that. So, you know, just as an example of receiving information that you can then that is designed to have a much larger impact. Then you have people like Edgar Cayce, you know, known as the sleeping prophet, who was able to go into a deep trance state and give accurate diagnoses for treatment for people that he didn't even have to meet. He could just go into the dream state and pick up on what was going on with him. So, you know, dreaming is so it's so limitless in its ability for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Not well, just personally.
I can give you some scientifics on that along with the shaman beliefs. First of all, shaman always say, listen to the wind. That sounds very simple. But the wind does carry. Now, people, their intent, the power of their intent, it's like, you ever saw paranormal investigations on TV? They have the ghost box.
Mm-hmm.
White noise, and it scans all these frequencies continuously. This is what our subconscious does. So listen to the wind. You are subconsciously picking up so much message, so much intention, good, bad, whatever you want to call it. And sometimes it's got to sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
I believe also what you're doing in that sleep state, because sleep state is a form of a hypnotic state.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller here. It is Carol from Michigan. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Carol.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Got a question.
Great.
You dream of from before, and all of a sudden, like a year or 2 years later, that dream that you had, maybe a picture of going somewhere or meeting somewhere, and then it comes true.
Mm-hmm. Precognitive dreaming.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, any time that you or anybody has a dream of something and then it happens, absolutely. And it is, you know, it's interesting, Carol, because it's more common than people realize. But because people don't always write down their dreams, they don't, or they, you know, and in your case, thank goodness you remembered, You know, they may not realize how that is happening, but, you know, we're tapping into a much larger field in the in that dream state. So, no, that sounds like a precognitive dream for sure.
And I dream every morning, like, they're dreams, and then sometimes maybe a year or two later that dream comes up. It does. It's weird. I have kind of predictions sometimes, you know, but then it comes out later in the future. Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Things happen, you know.
Yeah.
But you know? See, even that is trying sometimes to warn you, because when you go into the future using precognition or whatever, it doesn't have to happen. This is what it's trying to tell you. Just because you see it, all right, it is beyond its birth as an action. It can be altered. It can be changed.
Okay. They're not bad or anything, you know.
Oh, that's good.
No, yeah, that is good.
Ari, hi.
But pay attention to those just as well, because they're just as important.
Okay.
Because you have precognition seeing the future, recognition seeing the past. Then your empathic kicks in. Now you're not seeing, but you're feeling the emotions of everything that's going on. So you have so many different abilities that reinforce one another. And when they all fall in alignment and they're not arguing, now you can believe in it.
Yeah. I just wondered, because it does happen to me some, so things happen. Yeah.
No, that's very neat.
Okay.
But you do have a gift. I would explore that and further develop it. You have it for a reason. Use it. And that's to help all life.
Okay. I will.
And you know, Carol, just one more comment on that, because I think it's so important to realize, too, and I love that you called in and shared that, because for anybody else also listening, dreaming doesn't happen just in our mind. We are really, literally working. Dreaming happens multidimensionally. And so we're not always in our body when we're dreaming. And there are other things that are happening, and there is other information available when we're in that dream state. And, you know, Jeff said it was like, you know, like a hypnotic state. And it is. We're in a whole different place. So, you know, really realizing that we're connected to everything. And in the dream time, we are able to receive information that we wouldn't normally be able to receive in our physical body when we're wide awake during the day with all the distractions. So, you know, tapping into that is really helpful.
Have you ever gone to bed late at night and hear this, like, real, real faint but a high frequency, like power lines?
You've sometimes.
Okay, what you're getting is information. It can be angelic. It can be human, but you're getting information, but the analytical mind doesn't know how to interpret it. It takes the subconscious mind. So you're being talked to by someone.
An angel?
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I died a few times, I wasn't either here or there. I learned angels talk in frequency and vibration.
Mm-hmm.
All right, subconscious mind hears it in my language, so my conscious mind can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the two minds don't work together, all you're going to ever hear is that high frequency that is annoying when you're trying to go to sleep.
I have a hard time going to sleep, too.
So really, you're like listening to a telegraph.
Yeah.
There is information there.
And, you know, Carol, if I might suggest that you even ask as you're laying there, you know, before you fall asleep, and just ask for more information about it. Ask for more direct communication.
Okay.
You know, that's something we can all do.
Because I have things that happened to me. I had to have a port put in. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden I felt something behind me touch my nose because they couldn't put it in. I put my hand up, and there was nobody behind me. So I've had a few things happen to me. So
that's why I'm getting ready to say you have spirits with you that are aiding you and watching over you. Now you need to open up to them. So it's a two-way street. But you're not alone. You're a very lucky girl.
Yeah. I've been to three psychics that told me I have angels watching over me.
I'll agree with them.
Yeah. I was just wondering. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Carol.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Carol.
I will. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Bambi, I got a question for you.
Okay.
We were talking about dreams and kind of hinting at how they affect our lives. You're also a life coach. How do you incorporate dreams in your life coaching sessions, and how can we then turn and use it, say, for anyone else's life? How can we utilize dreams in our own lives?
That's a good question. In life coaching, to me, the beauty of life coaching is that you're working on the present and the future. You're not working so much on the past. So you're, you know, it's much more of a forward-moving practice. And I found over time, as I would get to know these people, I didn't usually bring it up at the very beginning of coaching sessions. It would be after a number of sessions with the same person when I started, knowing them much better and had a much better sense of them and what was going on, that I would start asking them to dream in between sessions and come to me with a dream. And during the coaching sessions, we would start talking about the dream, and almost every time what starts happening is the dream is definitely commenting on everything that they are working on, which is always, again, some form of healing, So it really works in tandem well to do the coaching and the dreaming together. I have clients who don't do the dream work with their coaching. That's, entirely up to the person. But there are the people who do use the dream work option absolutely love it. And it's a really terrific blend because you're still working on the same things, whether it's in their waking life or their dreaming life.
Mm-hmm.
But dreaming also has the ability to help people move into things in a much deeper way than the kind of work that we do on ourselves during the day. So image is so powerful, and when a person can be working with dream images and kind of developing a relationship with them, I'll call it, getting to know these images in a much deeper way, how they, relate to the dreamer, things shift faster for them also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fascinating to watch.
So would you say it's like doing a dream interpretation and stuff like that, and understanding the dreams that we're having throughout our lives helps us have a better understanding of ourselves so we know how to better apply ourselves to the world around us?
Oh, absolutely. Completely. I would absolutely say that. I think anybody who has started working with their dreams very quickly sees how much it can affect every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that we haven't really tapped on as far as when it comes to healing dreams. And actually, I'm gonna kind of reference the nightmare that Jay had,
mm-hmm.
that he shared with us. Nightmares, especially, they come in with such force and such power. And the thing is that they still, even though there's all this fear and there's this nightmare, and you wake up and you feel terrible and you're sweating and you're hot, there is still a homeopathic medicine in dreams,
mm-hmm.
and meaning that the antidote is always near the poison. So they still grow in the same area. As a person does more dream work and they get to know the dream imagery, or we work really deeply on a nightmare image and really get to know the image. It's similar to the idea of, you know, a child having a dream of being chased by a monster their whole childhood until at some point they turn around and face the monster in their dream, and all of a sudden it transforms into something else, and it becomes instead their ally. And that's the beauty of nightmares, is there is always a way to shift that energy, but it doesn't just shift because we interpreted the dream, it shifts because we work on it and we let it work on us over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's interesting that you said that. When I was little, I had a recurring nightmare for years.
You still are little.
But
go ahead, Ari, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. I had this nightmare all the time. I wake up in a fever and everything until one night it happened again, and I turned it around completely, and I ended my dream in a good way, and it never happened again, never had the dream again.
Wow. That's very neat, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Jeff, you may be aware of this, there was a tribe in Malaysia, the Senoi tribe, and they were basically known as the dreaming tribe or the dreaming people, and every morning this tribe would wake up, get together, sit around the fire, and they would all share their dreams. And, you know, part of that was really embracing the idea of community dreaming, not just it's all about me dreaming. But the other thing is when the children would share their dreams. And so they, you know, the elders and the parents would listen to these dreams, and the kids, you know, like all of us, I had dreams of being chased also, Ari, by a big monster down the hall, my whole childhood. But they would help the children learn how to then turn around in the dream and face the monster.
Right.
And, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, but that, you know, and then
always
and then
remember
that
fear.
Right.
No fear.
It kind of reminds me of a time when I was growing up, I had night terrors a lot. And I always couldn't sleep until a certain point at night to where I just passed out from exhaustion to where I don't even remember the dream. Well, my dad finally just told me one day, he says, like, this is your dream, this is your mind, you have control over it. So why are you afraid of something that's in your own head? So I always thought, that always encouraged me, because soon after that, my night terrors pretty much ended.
Okay, you know, Bambi, a few minutes ago, I cut you off, and then Justin hopped on. Go back to your thought a few minutes ago, talking about that tribe and the children.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Well, and it's the same thing even that Justin was just saying as well. It's the idea, though, of, you know, knowing that we have the ability to not run away from fear. And we all know how many different ways that shows up in our life. So, you know, whether it's a man with an axe, or it's a monster, or it's Bigfoot, or, you know, it's whatever, we definitely have the ability to teach ourselves how to eventually turn around and face our fears. And it's so symbolic, of course, you know, the symbolism of doing that in a dream, but nobody's ever the same once they turn around. And when that monster, Wolverine, or whoever it is, when they're faced and you just go, what do you want? Why do you keep chasing me? And they may just say something, and I've had people who said, they just said, well, I just wanted you to pay attention to me, or I just wanted a hug. And all of a sudden, you now have somebody on your side. You know, you have this ally who is there supporting you in your life. And yeah, I mean, how beautiful is that? And that's, you know, to me, that's almost the epitome of a healing dream. I mean, outside of, like, you know, medicinal. But how beautiful.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. I like that.
Now, to a lot of indigenous peoples throughout the world, they have, whether medicine men, medicine women, shaman, whatever, they have dreamwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And they was to assist them in their dreams, to be their ally to defeat the monster or whatever. But just by us walking into the dreams changes the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they see the dreamwalker appear, Now, I usually appear to be a black wolf with blue eyes. Now they have the courage, and they do it all from there, or the dream never comes back. It just ends.
Because
now they know they're not alone. They do have an ally, doesn't matter how far away you are. But a thought travels faster than the speed of anything else.
Yeah. No, it's so true, Jeff.
People don't realize how much in control they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree.
So if you would put out every way possible that the listeners can find you and contact you.
Wow, every way possible? Well, I'll start off with the website.
Almost
which...
every way.
My website is just my name, BambiCorso.com. I have a Twitter page, which is twitter.com/BambiCorso. I also have a Facebook page. It used to be the like page or the fan page. Now it's the like page. I get them confused. But that's also just under Bambi Corso. And I have some videos on YouTube that talk about techniques on how to remember your dreams as well as how to journal them. There's another one about working with settings in your dream, which is pretty interesting. It just gives you a show of why it's important to pay attention to the setting, the location of a dream, and what that might be, helping to point that out and see what that could be about. So there's a few things there also on YouTube, and that's how you get a hold of me.
Okay, now the YouTube, do you have links on your pages anywhere, website, that they can just click on that link and go directly to that on YouTube?
Yes, it's right on the website.
Oh, great.
It's on the media page.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great. Now, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit.
Okay.
To Carol's statement earlier about, dreaming something and then it happened years later. Do you think that could be an explanation for deja vu?
I do. There's so many different opinions about deja vu, but... when you're working in an area of more dimensions than one, it makes perfect sense that, of course, we could dream that and be there. And maybe it's not even so much a dream. I mean, we could be there also. If they're really, if you start getting into quantum physics and the idea that we can actually be in many places at once, it could certainly be part of that REA.
Your spirit knows no time. It goes into place where there is no time. And your spirit is a hunter-gatherer. It witnesses events and all kinds of things, and it brings it back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's interesting. I never even thought about that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Ari, it's interesting because even us... I don't know whether it wouldn't really be called deja vu, but I feel like they're connected, is not remembering your dreams, but then sometime during the day you see something and the entire dream comes right back to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrific when that does happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always blows my mind, too, because they're always just like little minor things. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I like about the way you do this, Bambi, you're not dictating what it means. You're helping people to understand by figuring out pretty much themselves with a little bit of guidance.
Right.
But you're not saying this means this and this means that and la, 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 because who's to say you're right?
Right.
Who's to
say
you're wrong? And then are you right for you or are you right for the client?
Right.
So, I mean, there's learning, but there's also understanding. And people think it's one and the same, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you understand it, now you're the knowing.
Right.
Now you have no worries.
Well, and it's just like, you know, whenever we've earned something on our own, it's completely different than if it was just given to us. And
right.
if I were to say to somebody, well, your dream means this, it usually gets the dream, it doesn't go anywhere. It gets stuck there. You know,
right,
and how
right.
how will a person then walk with that dream during their day or their month or their life?
Right.
They're very
the
personal.
One thing, they are very, well, they're very personal. And they're, I mean, these are intimate to us, you know, even if we're having global dreams. But, you know, these are all, they're still a huge part of us and our spirit and our growth. And this, you know, even before we end tonight, I think it's a great time to bring up the whole idea of honoring the dream. Whether
Good
we
luck.
Remember, yeah, whether we figure out what the dream means to us or not, it's so important to do something on behalf of the dream. And that can be absolutely anything for anybody. So, I mean, there's no right way to do that. It's important to realize that. You know, trust yourself as to what that might mean. So, you know, let me just toss out an example. You know, if it was Brittany who had, you know, the beautiful dream about the rabbits hopping around, her doing something on behalf of that dream might be to get a little rabbit and keep it on her dresser so that she saw that every day. She's reminded of the warming. You know, she invites
right.
it into her space that way. There's a little something there that reminds her of it. You know, Jay with his nightmare maybe doesn't want to remember the whole nightmare, but can still do something on behalf of the nightmare. Maybe, you know, finds a photograph of a wolf, you know, and maybe just a beautiful wolf and keeps that on a wall someplace. Maybe there's a color in the dream that stands out to somebody. It's bright yellow. They dream of a bright yellow butterfly, for example. A lot of times I'll end up wearing a color if it was really prominent in my dream because at least I'm still doing something, and I'm also meeting the dream in its own territory in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something happens in that space that none of us really know. But it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that we make an action on behalf of something else. We honor it, you know.
Right.
So that's always a really terrific thing to do with any powerful dream. I do collages a lot with my dreams. If I have some, you know, because we have so many images that can show up in one dream, but I'll find a bunch of pictures, put them together, and then just hold the collage, just keep it there. You know, you can look at that collage for months, and it will still continue to evolve over time. People paint their dreams. People write songs based on dreams. Beautiful artwork, you know. They sew outfits because of dreams. So there's so many ways that a person can find a way of honoring a dream. It's just the fact that you care enough to do it, and you show kind of, you know, spirit, whether it's your spirit, the, you know, the higher spirit, that you're willing, that you're open.
We have a caller here. Actually, George has come back. I guess he has another dream.
Oh. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
Hello. Okay, I'll try to make it short and sweet. This is an old but goody. I've been wondering for years what it meant. What happened was, in my dream, I was walking out past my old house, you know, a childhood house I grew up in, and on the side of me was a cornfield. But in my dream, the cornfield was filled with clouds. Okay, I'm walking through the strip of grass, and I hear something behind me, so I turn around, and here's my little brother on a bicycle, like, coming towards me. His skin is all white. He has, like, dark black around his eyes. His hair is black. His fingernails are black, and the bike is black. Okay, he went to do like a kind of like a reverse wheelie into me, and I called him and threw him into the field, and all these rainbow colors came out from him and like rippled through the clouds. Okay, I kept walking, and I come to Mr. Miyagi's, like this looking dude sitting in a tree, and he said something. I can't remember quite what he said. I said, thank you. Can I ask you for some advice? He goes, sure. When the wind blows a little bit, the tree sways a little bit. I said, thank you. Is there anything I can do for you? He says, yeah, go down to the movie rental store and get me two of Jackie Chan's latest rentals. Then the tree he was sitting in turned into a sign saying what movies he wanted. And then I woke up.
Hmm. Wow. So that dream seems to have a sense of requesting something from you also. I mean, since we're on that conversation, right? What did you make of the cornfield?
And, you know, I have no idea. I thought about it for years, wondering what it could mean. My brother was the black and white. You know, I figured that was some sort of balance. And then the colors coming through, like, out of it, you know, I'm still not sure what that means.
When you think of cornfield in general, George, what do you think of? Like, what does it remind you of, or does it remind you of anything you've ever seen, or any movie you've ever seen, or?
Nothing too spectacular. You know, I grew up around cornfields. Like, that house, that particular house I was living in, it was surrounded by cornfields. I had four cornfields, one on each side. So I kind of, like, grew up around them. But, you know, like, at the time, in my dream, it wasn't, there was no corn in it, it was just clouds, or fog, or, you know, whichever.
Because the sense of nature is very strong in that dream. You know, with the cornfield and the cloud and the rainbows and the tree and the wind, you know, when he answers your question.
Okay.
What about Mr. Miyagi for you? What does he represent?
I think he represents, like, a master of his art.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, and I always thought it was special to me because I've never really been able to master anything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've had plenty of opportunity, but it seems like every time it comes up, it's like, it's time for me to split. I don't know if it's a fear of responsibility or what, but, you know, that's just, you can go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's a great comment about that. As soon as you said that, what I saw was the little brother on the bike who's all white, but he has black eyes. It's almost like the ending of childhood in a certain kind of way. And if you're speaking about responsibility, you know, I could see where that could be playing out in that dream for you. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything that even to this day that has really intrigued you enough to want to master it?
Well, the metaphysical world and my artistic abilities.
What do you do artistically?
I draw, pencil drawings, sometimes I paint.
Okay.
I never really have the time for it or have the chance to.
Okay. The other comment I'd make about that cornfield is even though it's supposed to be a cornfield, it's clouds. When I hear that, what comes to mind for me, if it were my dream, is there's a big difference between a corn growing in the ground and being grounded, a person being grounded versus a person being kind of in the clouds.
Okay.
You know? So I would just kind of stay curious about that part of it, but really about this part of mastering. You know, it may be mastering life, but if there's something in you that really feels like it would like to master something in particular, if that feels important to you, I just really want to encourage you to spend more time on that.
Okay.
You know, because it seems like the help is there. You have Mr. Miyagi, you know, giving you the advice, which, would you repeat that again, what he said?
He said, when the wind blows a little bit, the tree sways a little bit. So,
and really,
I kind of took that as, like, the more you try, the better, you know, the more success or, you know, the more of the outcome will be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, they talk about, you know, the more that that a tree bends, though, the stronger it also becomes. You know, the stronger the wind and all that. But, I mean, even just sitting with that piece of guidance from the dream, Mr. Miyagi, I think could be really powerful.
Okay.
Yield to overcome. And let it show you what it wants to show you, rather than trying to resist it or escape it, or the youth within yourself, you throw off into the cornfield. Stop and listen to it. Listen to it. There are no real bad dreams or good dreams, just messages. Some are harder than others, but there's still a dream to be respected because it's sacred. It's a message that didn't have to come, but they felt you were worth it. So honor it. Honor yourself. Honor the message.
That's pretty touching.
It's like the saying in the Talmud that says, an uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter.
Yes.
Right?
Wish you would have gotten.
You wish you would have opened it.
It's life changing.
Yeah, but that is how much information is coming through. I mean, we get gifts all the time.
Right. You know, when people say anymore there's no such things as miracles, oh, they just close their eyes. They don't know how to see it. They don't know how to interpret it. They don't know how to love it and embrace it. So they just give up and let somebody rule it out 100 years later from a church. Yeah, we found it to be a miracle. Well, you're not around anymore to hear it. Thank you very much. I missed the whole show. You decide. No one else. Bow down to no one else. Because everything you need is either already in you or is being given to you. Always remember that. Trust yourself. Trust the Creator. Trust Spirit.
Absolutely, Jeff. Very well put.
Yeah. Bambi, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. If you want to go ahead and put your information out there one more time and give any last words to the people out there.
Okay. Well, my website is BambiCorso.com. I can also be found on Twitter. It's just twitter.com/BambiCorso. And also I have a Facebook page as well and a YouTube channel. Access to every one of those is right on my website. There's links to everything. There's also actually a link to our Spirit Walker show and already on the website. So anybody who's interested in hearing about that conversation can do so there as well as right here, I'm sure. Right, Jeff?
Yep.
And just as closing remarks, dream work is such a passionate subject for me, only because I've seen the difference it's made in my life and the difference it's made in other people's lives. And there is definitely a tremendous amount of information and guidance available to all of us, no matter what your life situation, no matter who you are, where you are in the world. One thing in common we all have is this ability to dream and to utilize that to help us walk our path here and our journey on the earth is just a tremendous help. And I just encourage anybody interested in dreams to please just start writing them down. And if you have questions, please write me on my website. I would answer any questions that anybody sends over. But I believe that part of global healing is also going to be related to a collective dream that we all share and we all hold for a much more peaceful and balanced world. And that's a place that we all share. So I just really want to thank Jeff and Ari and Justin for having me on the show. It's a pleasure, and again, to be able to spend the time with you guys.
We are so happy to have you.
Yeah. You are a delight.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
very much.
I always tell people, love yourself, love each other, love life.
All right, well, thank you so much, Bambi, for being on the show, and thank you for the caller.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, and all have a great evening.
Thank you, Justin.
Oh.